This is episode number 490 with the original shark, Kevin Harrington.
Welcome to the School of Greatness. My name is Lewis Howes, former pro athlete turned lifestyle entrepreneur. And each week we bring you an inspiring person or message to help you discover how to unlock your inner greatness. Thanks for spending some time with me today. Now let the class begin.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Greatness Studio. Excited about our guest today because we're talking about how to take any idea and turn it into a product. And not just a product, but a successful product that makes millions or billions of dollars. And we talk about how to test your ideas and a lot of other things we're about to dive into in just a second. But for those who don't know who Kevin Harrington is, he has been a successful entrepreneur over the last 40 years. And he's an original shark on Shark Tank. He's also the inventor of the infomercial, which has transformed people's businesses and products for years. And an as-seen-on TV pioneer. And he's a co-founder of the Entrepreneurs Association, EO. Kevin has also launched over 20 businesses that has grown to over $100 million in sales each. And he's been involved in more than a dozen public companies. And he's launched over 500 products that have generated more than $5 billion in sales worldwide with iconic brands and celebrities like Hulk Hogan and George Foreman. And he's been quoted and featured in everywhere like the Wall Street Journal, New York Times, USA Today, CNBC, Forbes, Inc., Entrepreneur, Fortune, Today Show, Good Morning America. You name it, he's pretty much been there. And some of the main things we cover today are how Shark Tank actually changed his business and his life. Also, how to test your idea before you put a lot of money into it, before you invest in it, how to test it to make sure you've got a mega hit. Also, Kevin's winning formula for a great infomercial and all the elements you need if you want to have an infomercial or really that kind of online infomercial on Kickstarter as well. The three-step formula to selling anything. Whatever it is you want to sell, this is the formula, and why digital marketing is working so well today. Guys, I am pumped for this one, but before we dive in, I want to give a shout out to our iTunes review of the week. This is by Liz86. She said, I've listened to this podcast for a few years now, but I got so busy and burnt out with school that I stopped. Now that I'm in my last quarter of my master's program and I'm extremely burnt out and in a rut, this podcast has re-sparked my motivation and given me the excitement to follow through with my goals and ideas after graduation. Thank you. I recommend this podcast and book to all my friends. Liz86, thank you so much for being the iTunes review of the week. And if you guys want to leave a review, if you haven't yet, make sure to head over to iTunes.com/greatness for your chance to be the review of the week soon. All right, guys, let's dive into this one. If you have an idea, if you're looking to grow something, build something, sell something, then this is the one for you. And without further ado, let me introduce to you the one, the only Kevin Harrington.
We've all been there. You have a question about your credit card, you call the number for help and can't get a hold of anyone if you only had a Discover card. With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. A real person. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Canva presents stories to keep you up at night. It was an ordinary work day until
the Singapore presentation is at
3 a.m.
The office was shocked.
That's when we sleep.
Maya made it less scary with Canva.
I'll just record my presentation so Singapore can watch it anytime.
Record and present anytime with Canva presentations at canva.com. Designed for work.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist, you'll want to invite everyone over. From book club to reality TV watch parties, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is infused with 2 times more essential oil versus regular Airwick Essential Mist for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is perfectly portable and effortlessly easy. The way fragrance should be. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
Welcome back, everyone, to the School of Greatness podcast. We've got a legend, Kevin Harrington, in the house. Good to see you, man.
Thanks,
how are you,
Lewis? I'm great, man. Feeling good.
Very excited about this. We connected through some mutual friends, Grant Cardone. We were supposed to speak at his event recently, and some of your teammates, team members, said that I should get you on my podcast because you haven't been on here. And we've had some other people on Shark Tank on the show, and so I thought we'd bring you on. You were one of the original cast members of Shark Tank. You're one of the founding fathers of the infomercial and as seen on TV kind of credentials. And you've taken how many products to market?
Over 500.
500 products to market.
Yes, over the last 30 years.
Either being in retail or online, I'm assuming.
Yeah, correct.
Or on home shopping network type shows.
Right. We start usually on an as seen on TV kind of spot, commercial. And then
infomercial.
Infomercial, right? And then as they get traction, then you're building the brand. So then every other outlet wants them. Now you'll see them then on the shopping channels, HSN, QVC, catalogs, retail shelves, Walmart, Target, et cetera.
Wow.
And then international, because we sell as many outside the U.S. or more than we did inside the U.S.
Really?
So that's the other part of the whole puzzle. Back in 1990, I started traveling all around the world, setting up international distribution with local partners in every country. So that took me about 5 or 6 years to actually go country to country and set up all those relationships.
Now, do you create the products yourself from idea to launch? Or are you more licensing it to the manufacturer or to the brands? Or?
What I say, and this is because people say, well, you know, are you an inventor or, you know, what's the model? I don't invent anything. In fact, I've only had one patent.
Idea. That's
one
like...
patent that I made, right? I give a lot of creativity to a product when I see it, but I prefer to deal with the greatest product owners because there's many, many more people that are out there with great products than I can invent myself. And plus, these people that have invented the products, then a lot of times they've made a prototype or they made the tooling and it's kind of, they may have spent three or four or five years taking it to a point and then I can come in and then take it to the market.
Wow.
So you
take a great idea and then you take it to market.
Exactly.
If you like it and you try to enhance it, do you then take it to, if they've got the tooling or if they got all that already, then will you take it to the manufacturer and help them with the whole process?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. We basically want to license it, pretty much exclusively for worldwide distribution. And today that's very important because sometimes people would say, well, look, I'm already selling it, on Amazon or somewhere, and I just want to give you the TV rights.
Yeah.
But I put it on TV, and then their Amazon blows up, and then they'll drop the price.
Yeah.
Well, we had a product recently. They had 20 different resellers on Amazon, and we said, we can't touch this until it's all cleaned up because we need a consistent message, a consistent price, and that they ended up pulling off. But it's important to control because the other part of that is, let's say you're running on TV and now all of a sudden it goes into Walmart and Walmart sells it at $30 less or something, that can destroy all your other distribution, catalog, QVC, et cetera. So you have to have a unified pricing model.
You're taking me back because 2008, 2009, I got injured playing arena football in 2007. And then I came up with an invention.
Okay.
I came up with an idea. I had this big cast on. Actually, is it in here? Is this the first one? I've kept these. I'll just show you. This is
the Tampa Storm was a great team. Did you ever meet the previous the guy that ran that just passed away a few years ago, but he was a real kind of legend and a controversial character. He was sort of a buddy I saw occasionally.
So this is I didn't even plan to bring this out, but this is from essentially 9 years ago. I had a cast on from breaking my wrist.
Right.
And it was a full arm cast from here to here. And I couldn't do anything except for either leave it up here or kind of like have it here or just be out to the side. But it was always like scratching my body when I had it like against me. So I said, there's got to be a way to have something that goes over the cast. Mm. It's soft, but also different colors. So I created this. You can slide it through your arm. It's got a thumb hole. So it went through there.
Yeah, great.
And then I made it longer. And I found an inventor. I was like, I don't know what to do with this. I'm like this 23-year-old punk,
Yeah.
And it just slid right over the cast.
Beautiful.
And, all these different things. Called it the cast comfy. And I
found an inventor who became a great mentor of mine. And so I went to all these trade shows.
Oh.
I went to CES and the Home and Houseware show and all these other shows that you were talking about earlier off camera.
Yeah.
That you go to 30 trade shows a year, is that what you said? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I was going to all these and just learning about, you know, how to take an idea to the market, licensing, manufacturing, all tooling, all the processes of these things. So for me to kind of connect with you now, like, takes me back to when I was first getting into business. That's the stuff I learned about early on. And
it's
so, there's so many facets to taking a product, first getting an idea,
right,
and making it come to life.
Well, and it's also, I think a lot of inventors don't understand that at the end of the day, if you're going to be real successful, it's going to take millions of dollars, because you have to do the tooling.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to do the manufacturing.
Yep.
You know, we were shipping product. In the old days, we said, we'll ship it to you in 4 to 6 weeks. Well, imagine doing that today.
No.
You know, do you think Amazon would has ever said 4 to 6 weeks?
No.
You know, I mean,
four
like
to six days max.
It's hitting you sometimes the same day, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, but we had to go. We'd get the orders, and then we couldn't cash the credit cards, but we would then, based on the success of the show or the product, mm-hmm. then go make the goods and bring them into the country.
Really?
And so
with the infomercial.
Yeah. In the early days of infomercials.
Because sell it, then you create it.
Yeah. Well, we already knew we had a factory, we had the tooling, but we had to then, we'd sell it.
You make a big order yet until you
we'd
got it.
We'd sell it, and then we'd go pay the manufacturer, okay, we need 10,000.
In the next week.
And then and then they would make it real quick, put it on a boat, take three weeks to get over here. And that's why it was four to six weeks. Because we had to, we didn't want to, the one thing that I never wanted to do was end up with tons of inventory that I didn't need, right?
Yeah.
And so,
that's brilliant.
So even to this day, we still, the beauty of the infomercial business, it's like turning a faucet on, where you can buy media to sell the orders, but we plan the media based on when the product is going to be hitting the country.
You're like the original crowdfunding campaign.
Yeah.
You're like the original.
Yeah, pretty much so. Yeah.
Indiegogo.
I mean, I also call us the original viral videos.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because
when I first
ran into this guy at a trade show, the home show, his name was Arnold Morris. He was cutting through a Coca-Cola can and through hammerheads and then mufflers with a knife. And I watched him selling this. It was called the Ginsu knife set.
Oh,
and so
it was a huge knife set.
Yeah. I watched him sell it. And then I thought, that, you know, he does this in front of 10 people.
What if we
filmed it and put it in front of millions? And then all I did was took the video and sent it viral to TV stations all around the world. So, and it did hundreds of millions of dollars.
So you took
sales.
That product.
Yeah.
That was the first infomercial.
So that it actually was one of my first product infomercials, because I had done it previous to that. I had been doing some franchise type stuff. So
infomercials. Yeah.
Yeah. Infomercials.
This is the product where you could like see the transformation or
right.
whatever.
Where you demonstrate.
Yes.
And it wasn't lead generation. It was pick up the phone, order now.
Bye.
Buy today, credit card. And so we were all of a sudden, but the tough part of that was that we had to now finance all of those orders and and now multiply. We had the Ginsu show, we had the Tony Little show, we had the Jack LaLanne Juicer show, and so we're ordering 10,000 of these, 10,000 of these, 10,000. We had at one time, you know, $5, $8, $10 million tied up in inventory,
really?
Coming into the U.S., and that's big business.
So you were already pre-sold that, right? Or was that inventory coming in?
Well,
you got to sell?
In the beginning, we would pre-sell it, then go order. But then we had to be more sophisticated.
Needed it in quicker.
We had to then, because this was the beauty. We could project our sales. So the test, we would run on 25 stations, and we'd get 10,000 orders. Then we would say, okay,
let's do 300 stations.
Let's take it times 10, we go to 250, 300 stations. We're going to get 10 times the orders, 100,000. So, and it held. The beauty is, if it worked on 25, it was going to work on 250. Yeah, because the industry had modeled itself then ultimately at sort of numbers that worked. So now we've had to start doing high finance, and so we started getting lines of credit from banks and all of that. So we had a $10 million line of credit from Chemical Bank at one point, and we used every dime of that to, you know, because we needed it to pay for the inventory. And the you know, the main thing was hoping that we didn't get a bad batch of something, which happened.
That's the worst, yeah, right? You got 10,000 orders if they're all defects.
I had the very first time I ordered, we were selling this Chinese wok. It was hand hammered. And the first 10,000 that came in, they opened them up. They were all rusted.
Oh.
And we said, how did this happen? Well, hey, you asked for the cheapest shipping method possible. Well, they were on top of the boat.
Oh,
and the ocean spray.
No.
Ocean spray that was coming on top, you know, rusted out all the Chinese woks. So we had pre-sold these. So now we have 10,000 at $40 a piece. It was in the process of having to refund $400,000 to the consumer. And so that's when you get very creative. And we got a bunch of steel wool out and shined them all up real good. And they. So
you spent $20,000 on shining it up.
$20,000 on shining them up.
$400,000
instead of $400 in refunds. And because I was like, we're devastated. I mean,
this was
back in the mid 80s, okay, when I didn't have a lot of capital. So, I mean, we were literally living week to week to week with our cash flow.
Wow.
And so it was brutal, some of the learning curves. And, you know, we learned quite a bit about a lot of stuff. In fact, one day my auditor came in and said, hey, what are you selling for $100 on TV? Because you're selling $29 knife sets and stuff. He said, because I said, nothing for $100. Well, you're issuing a lot of $100 credits. And so I found out that one of our girls in accounting she had issued tens of thousands of dollars of $100 credits to herself and her friends and her relatives. And because somebody had to, when someone returned a product, somebody had to issue a refund. It was one of my girls in accounting. And so she was issuing credits to everybody she knew. Like, she started issuing $29 credits and nobody picked up, then $50 credits, then $100 credits. And actually, there were some $1,000 credits along the way, too. Yeah. So, I mean, obviously criminal activity, but, you know, so, but these are the things we learned. This is 1986 or 87 or something, you know, 30 years ago.
Wow.
We're learning the hard way because nobody nobody knew this stuff, right?
Holy cow.
Anyway, it was a great entrepreneurial experience going through these early days. And then, of course, the back end of the TV business was selling to the shopping channels and selling to catalogs and then selling to the international distributors. And that's where it all paid off.
So you start with the idea where you'll see something at a trade show. It's typically how I'm guessing it goes down. You see a guy or a girl who's got a product and they're demonstrating. You're like, that could be great for TV. Let me create a short commercial around it.
Yep.
Which there's a format to doing an infomercial, which I want to ask you about
right.
next, the key to that. Take that, do a media buy to 25 markets. If
right.
it sells well, go to 250.
Right.
And then if that sells well, you keep ramping it up, and then you'll take it to the home shopping networks.
Yes.
Then to retail.
Yep.
Then to international.
Yeah.
That's the model.
2002, I was at the Chicago Houseware Show. Yep. There's two Korean engineers had a 10x10 booth and they had an oven that had infrared technology that cooked inside the food out. So an oven cooks outside in.
Right.
So, but if you have a frozen chicken, outside in will burn the outside before it gets the unfrozen inside. Whereas this infrared technology cooked inside out. So it took the frozen inside, cooked it as it was cooking out to the outside, while you also cooked outside in. This became the New Wave oven, which is now sold over 5 million units at $140. And so that's about a $700 million product that I did.
But you said, hey.
Saw those guys, licensed it, created the infomercial, and brought it to market. And,
wow.
And that's what we do. That's why I go to trade shows. Okay.
So, you see that stuff early on. Yeah.
Right.
Because they're trying to get the word out. They're trying to find people like you.
Yeah.
And, so when you license it, you say, how does that deal usually work? What's kind of like a standard license agreement? You give them a royalty fee?
Yes. I put up all the money. I license it exclusively for the world.
So you're like the brand.
Yeah.
And then they get 3 to 5% royalty.
3 to 5%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And typically
today, maybe 2 to 4. Okay. So
five is like really good.
Five is like Tony Little is five, you know?
Oh, he made bank then.
Right. So
5% of what,
Tony,
$300 million or something?
Yeah. I mean, the first show I did with Tony, we did the first infomercial, did $350 million. He got 5%. He made $17 million.
And he didn't have to do any of the work. He didn't have to put up any of the money. He didn't have to deal with any of the stress, the media buying, the marketing. He just showed up and presented. And
he did like a 2-day shoot and collected a check
$17 million
for the rest of his life. I mean, not his life. That was about about a 4-year run.
Wow.
But in fact, one day Tony said, you know, I think you're making a lot more money than I am, and I'm really the brand. Let's do a 50-50 partnership. And I said, now, that means you're going to come up with half the cash, right? Sure, I've made a lot of money. Instead of a license, I want to do 50-50. So we did, we shook hands, signed a deal. So the next product we launched was 50-50. So we're running $200,000 a week in media, and we're doing a multi-pay on the product. So we don't get all the cash. It's over 3-4 months. So this thing isn't going to cash flow positive for
6 months,
6 to 9 months.
So he's putting out all this money.
And he's writing a check every week for half of the hundreds of thousands. He's got, all of a sudden, he's got $700,000-$800,000 invested. And he's like, wait a minute, when am I going to see my money? He says, by now you'd be sending me big checks. And I said, so Tony, let me show you the cash flow. He's like, wow, I don't like how this works. Can we go back and redo this deal with 5%?
You're like, yeah, now I'm doing 3%.
Yeah, yeah. I said, no, let's make it 4, Tony.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
So, so there's a big responsibility in licensing the deals. And again, what happens if you get some bad product that comes in? You know, that happens.
That's on you. It's not on the talent or the inventor. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we can get, you know, hurt pretty bad on some bad product.
One of my favorite parts about my job is that I get the opportunity to travel a lot. And in fact, I'm recording this right now while I'm in Mexico. And actually, I was thinking about something that I wanted to share because I get a lot of questions from so many people about different side hustle ideas. So here's one for those of you out there that are on the go a lot like I am or traveling a lot. When you're staying in your Airbnb on your trips, have you ever thought about how you could be making extra money by hosting through Airbnb while your home is vacant? If you're interested in an extra stream of income, Airbnb hosting is an easy place to start, and it's like giving your home some company while you're away. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. So listen, we all know life is full of yada yada, like those quote unquote free trials that somehow still charge your card for something, or when companies have those sneaky gotchas hiding deep in the fine print. And I know you've dealt with yada yada before, like those bills that keep going up and up for no reason at all, or when budget airlines promise a cheap fare but then charge you for every little thing until you realize you're paying more than you would have somewhere else. And yes, it is possible to outsmart yada yada, like triple checking airline deals to make sure all you need is already included, but you don't take yada yada in life, so don't take yada yada from your wireless provider. Metro by T-Mobile has no contracts, no credit checks, no surprises, and nada yada yada. Stop by one of over 6,000 Metro stores nationwide.
Canva presents stories to keep you up at night. It was an ordinary work day until
the Singapore presentation is at
3 a.m.
The office was shocked.
That's when we sleep.
Maya made it less scary with Canva.
I'll just record my presentation so Singapore can watch it anytime.
Record and present anytime with Canva presentations at canva.com. Designed for work.
What's been the most,
Ginsu.
Was, how well did that do?
Well, so this is the thing, because people, I didn't invent it or create it. I partnered with the people.
Yes.
And actually, you know who owns Ginsu? Warren Buffett owns the factory that created the Ginsu manufacturing. And then what happened, the original people that owned Ginsu through various things went bankrupt. I ended up taking it over, licensing it from Warren Buffett. His company, and it's a little factory in Arkansas that makes it. Okay. I just shot a new version of Ginsu just here recently. So now, for a while I had the rights and I lost the rights. And because that's one of the challenges you run into when you partner with people that have a brand already, they own the brand.
Yeah.
You're building it. Now, the two Korean guys, we created the name. So we actually. Now,
it wasn't Ginsu before you started.
Well,
when you
Ginsu
found it.
Was Ginsu, but the New Wave Oven wasn't. Okay, so now Tony Little owns his brand, but when we did the Ab Isolator, for example, an Ab product, right. we want to own that.
That brand together.
We want to own that brand together.
Brand. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
He owns his name.
So you it's Tony Little's Ab Isolator. So we want to be partners.
So you're licensing
in the
his
brand.
Name. Your brand. Yeah, yeah.
Correct.
Got
because,
it.
So for example, Billy Mays was the creator.
Wow, one of the greatest.
Yeah. And so I met Billy in 1986 in Philadelphia.
I met him at a trade show myself too.
He's an amazing guy.
He's a nice guy.
God bless. He's passed away now. But Billy he created OxyClean.
Now, such a big product.
He didn't own that though. He was the face of it. Somebody else owned it. And so this is a true story. Billy called me and he said, Kevin, he said, these guys that own OxyClean, they called me and they're like, rush, rush, rush. They want to do a deal to license, give me a 5-year deal and pay me X amount of dollars. I forget what the number was, a year for 5 years. And he said, does that deal make sense? And I said, well, we sat down and we talked, and make a long story short, I said, something's up. Okay. He ended up doing the deal. But 2 weeks after it, they sold the company to Church and Dwight for $365 million. So what happened
with his name attached to
with his name attached to it on a 5-year deal. So what happened was Church and Dwight was buying the company and told these guys, look, we're going to buy the company, but the face of this is Billy Mays. You don't have him under any kind of contract. Get a 5-year deal and then you get your money. And Billy felt like he got cheated because they didn't really disclose that they were selling the company. At the end of the day, he thought he should have gotten maybe a little $1 million bonus or something.
Sure, right?
And I don't know what he ended up doing. That wasn't my deal, but I was buddies with Billy and and his wife, Deborah, since, you know, when he passed, you know, it was a terrible time for the industry because he's
such a legend.
He had 60 some commercials on television when he passed away.
He was still making good money. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's making money.
He had two Phantom Rolls Royces and,
doing all right. And
a 20 some thousand square foot house.
Yeah.
So,
he was doing all right.
He was making millions of dollars a year.
Yeah, yeah.
He lived large, you know, but that's, you know, it's...
Of course.
It's, you know, look...
when your face is on TV every day, and you're...
You know, it's a different form of like, I was at Mike Tyson's house in Las Vegas recently. I'm talking to him about a project and, you know, Mike, he lived large. He made 300 and some million dollars.
And how much did he lose of it?
Went through most of it, I think, you know?
It's crazy.
You know, the Billy Mays and the Tony Littles, they make a lot of money. Hopefully they save a little bit along the way, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, but it's been a good run for a lot of those guys.
So what's the formula? You've done how many infomercials? Hundreds?
500 plus.
500 plus.
Yeah, yeah.
What's been the top three best-selling for you?
Right.
And then what's the proven model that everyone needs, whether it's going to be a mega hit or maybe it's not going to work, but it needs it either way,
right?
The formula.
So, I mean, look, the top three is kind of, I can look at different
metrics,
reasons why, but Tony Little, I always say, is kind of my number one guy.
Really?
Because we did more than one. We did the Ab Isolator, we did the Target Training, we ended up shooting the original Gazelle, which was, and so we did over a $1 billion with Tony Little.
$1 billion in sales.
In sales.
From infomercials.
From infomercials.
Just
infomercials
or just home shopping networks?
Oh, that was everything combined.
Everything. So,
yeah,
sales in
general. That was sales, international, retail.
$1 billion in sales.
Yeah, like $1.5 billion, yeah.
In two or three products?
In three products, yeah.
That's amazing.
So now Tony's done.
So he got a 5% royalty on that, or is that on the...
And some of it was retail, so there's wholesale at retail, so he gets it on the wholesale side. So
got it.
Quite get that
the
on the gross,
yeah,
but...
Yeah.
But so Tony is near and dear to me. He and I are 1 month apart in age. So,
wow.
We both live in Tampa, Florida. And we're both mentors to each other, which is interesting.
Of course.
He calls me, I call him. We have sort of an, you know, whether we need it or not, an annual like get together and talk about the industry. Right. I just had my birthday party and he came and hung out.
That's
so
cool.
That was a big one. Now, we've mentioned the New Wave Oven. That's probably somewhere near the top because it's done $700 million plus dollars.
Crazy.
But I also, I did the original Jack LaLanne juicer, which is now, it's had evolution. So some of these products they take it and go onward.
Yeah.
So, and the second iteration of that has done over $1 billion, believe it or not, Jack LaLanne. But then, you ever hear of a product called the Food Saver? It's a vacuum food sealer.
Yes.
Okay. So
yes.
I had the rights to that in the very beginning.
Wow.
And that we did hundreds of millions of dollars, and that company ended up selling for a lot of money to the company that now owns it. So I love kitchen products, as you can tell. I love, you know, a lot of kind of gadgets and stuff. But you know, it's, you know, going beyond that, you know, there's many you know, modern day products that I'm involved with. There's one right now called iGrow Laser. It's a hair growing helmet that wow. has laser, low level laser, and infrared technology sure. that grows hair. And it's clinically proven. This is doing tens of millions of dollars right wow. now. On and it's on QVC. It's for women and men. It's wow. FDA cleared, clinically proven, etc. But now, also, Lewis, my business model coming off Shark Tank is people would see me on Shark Tank and they're like, I wonder, you know, what do people really want when they go on Shark Tank? They want money. But then people would come to me off of the show and like email me and say, look,
yeah,
I do want money and I need money, but if I could just do a deal with you, you open up your Rolodex, maybe we can go raise money together. So that is sort of my new model over the last about 4 or 5 years. Is what I do is I take strategic advisory positions, mm-hmm. board positions, public companies, as well as startups.
Yeah.
And so that really has been really fun because I've got equity in a little company that started at 10 cents a share. It's now $3.60.
Nice.
And you know, what could be so bad to get a lot of shares in those kind of
yeah,
deals, right?
Of course.
So I have, you know, tens of millions of shares of public companies. You know, I think Tim Ferriss is kind of doing this kind
of
stuff.
Of course.
In on the ground floor
yep.
and take a little equity and open up the Rolodex and mm-hmm. all that. So I really love I'll bring some capital to the table if it's
sure,
needed.
Sure.
But if somebody's like, hey, I need $1 million, I can't just fund every deal that
yeah.
needs $1 million because eventually you run out of money, right?
Exactly.
You know, and plus I'm married now twice, and my new wife, and you know, we've been together 14 years, so
yeah.
that's new because I have a 28-year-old son from my first marriage and 19-year-old boy also. But she's like, you know, you can't be everything to everybody, so you have to kind of pick and choose what you want to do
mm-hmm.
and focus on the winners and,
yeah.
and the winning people with a winning business.
That's it.
Yeah. So that's really, it's you know, because the ad scene of TV business is they're in the middle of disruption because it's no secret there's a lot less people watching TV today than there was 5 years ago.
Right.
In fact, it's 50% less than it was 10 years ago.
No way.
Yeah.
Because everyone's online. On
yeah.
the phone,
they're
online.
Whatever, they're
yeah.
on. I mean, I'll give you a great example. My 19-year-old started college, went over, got his apartment for him, and the furniture's being delivered. Uh-huh. The cable guy shows up, and I said, great, what cable package did you get, Nick? And he said, sorry to tell you, Dad, but he's just putting in internet.
Just
I'm
to
not
watch
get, yeah.
Apple TV
says,
or Netflix
yeah.
or whatever.
He says, I don't watch TV. I'm like, how
wow.
do you think we're paying for your college education? And, you know, you're getting at least a basic channel back.
See it in commercial.
I need to be able to watch some shows when I'm over here hanging out at your place. So
wow.
so he got cable. But, I mean, I'm like, I was almost, I mean, he knew he was going to offend me by not getting
wow.
something, but he wasn't telling me till I got there. But so kids don't watch TV like
it's crazy.
You know, I mean, I used to, you know, in the very beginning, I had 5 channels. Then I had the 30 channel package. And that's how I created this whole infomercial space is one day I'm watching TV and the screen went dark and then they put bars up and that was Discovery Channel. It was dark for 6 hours. And
no.
Yeah, with bars on the screen.
And you're like, I should buy that.
I said, yeah. I said, Discovery for the first 5
wow.
years of its existence was an 18-hour-a-day network.
Shut up.
And I bought the 6 hours nationwide from Discovery. Yeah. Back in the mid-80s.
Wow.
And by the way, we paid them $1,000 a day for 6 hours, and that's $365,000 a year. And that was generating tens of millions of dollars in sales.
That was a great media buy.
So that was an extremely good media buy. And that was the early, early day. So
before everyone got in and it got competitive.
Yeah. And then when that contract expired, that time block went from 365, it was a multi-year contract, for $28 million. That's how beautiful.
28 million. So you had it for 3 years for $1,000
yes,
a day?
Yes, $1,000 a day. Yes.
You got it.
And it went for $28 million because it was generating tens of millions of dollars in sales. So I mean, but and so that's when I said, I got to go to Europe. I got to go to Asia. I got to go to Latin America and start picking up these all this downtime.
Wow.
So that's
back in the 80s.
This was in the 80s. So we went to Europe and Latin America, et cetera.
Just bought it all up.
Every place we could, we'd sign long-term contracts.
How much is the media right now to buy on TV?
It's outrageous. I mean, Discovery, what we were buying for $1,000 a day, they have slots to go for $20,000 for 30 minutes now. You know, Discovery.
Is it worth it to buy this media?
It's becoming so difficult to make money off of, but our strategies change.
It's like a billboard, right?
It's like a billboard. But what we've had to do is tie it into Amazon and social media. And so anymore today, if you just go on TV, you're not going to make money.
Just like call the phone and
Yeah, you got to go on TV and then have all the other elements around it
ready
to go. And then also pricing protected, because what do most people do now? They see it on TV. They actually
go online
to see if they can find it cheaper. And then there's knockoff guys that actually take out, hey, you've seen the new wave? Click here. Well, they've got something similar for half the price or whatever, right? So it's a cutthroat business, and we drive other people's sales with TV for sure.
Yeah.
In fact, like I said, when there was 20 resellers of that hair growing helmet on Amazon, we had to clean them up, because why am I going to go on TV and drive their sales?
No,
you can't afford it. So it's a more sophisticated business today.
But you're still active and aggressively buying media on TV?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Even today, 30 years later?
Oh, yeah.
Even
absolutely.
How competitive it is, how much more expensive, it still works.
Yeah. But we start on social media, actually.
Wow.
We start on Facebook or Pinterest or Instagram, one of the social media channels, test it. And then
get a few sales.
Yeah.
Then, okay.
We call it test before we invest.
That's it.
Yeah. It's a focus group.
Proof of concept. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, to do a spot, do an infomercial, do a TV spot.
So
you got to produce the show. You got to write the script. You got to buy the media. It's $75,000 to $100,000 to $200,000.
Before you buy media.
Before you even get in the game. And it takes 3 to 6 months. I can take a little low budget video off of an iPhone, pop it up on Facebook, and put it out to certain places and see how well it's being received.
Yeah.
And then I can decide whether I want to greenlight it or not.
Wow.
And so amazing things happen.
I mean, that's why so many people are successful with the Indiegogo Kickstarter, because they're able to create a video quickly and put something up there for $2,000 to $5,000, you know, a nice little video and a campaign and see if people buy it. And
exactly.
You know, I was a part of a Kickstarter that we did about almost 500,000 in sales for a product. It was a carbon fiber, it was like a paper airplane made out of carbon fiber.
Wow.
That you can remote control with your iPhone.
Nice.
And it had an HD camera on it, so you can film the whole flight.
That's pretty cool. Wow.
Just throw it and it starts to fly and you're just like, it's amazing.
Wow.
Yeah. And
but
then we went and took the money and used that to do the tooling and all the engineering. It was just challenge after challenge with the manufacturer. It came back with just defects on a lot of them. So it's constantly refining the process.
Yeah.
And this has been, 2.5 years now.
Have you heard, Chris Stoikos, the Dollar Beard Club guy?
Crushed it.
Yeah, right. Now, he did a product called Coolbox, which he went on Kickstarter, raised $400,000.
Uh-huh.
It was a cooler that was like a toolbox cooler.
This wasn't the coolest cooler.
Not the coolest cooler.
Yeah, yeah. My friend worked on that design, too.
Yeah, the coolest cooler had some nightmare situations,
I heard.
But the Coolbox had the speakers and plug in for charging this and that, run your iPhone. And it was an entertainment set, but it was also a toolbox. So it was a toolbox and a cooler. And they spent hundreds of thousands on the tooling.
That's
they
so
spent,
much money.
You know, and so the 400 went boom,
gone
like that. So we had to come in, and then he actually went on Shark Tank and then did a deal with Lori Grenier
to sell the Coolbox,
looking for partners. And so
how did it do
that? Well, Lori on the show did the deal, but then that fell apart.
Backed out.
Yep. Backed out. And then now I'm involved and we've put the first $250,000 into taking it to the next step, because the 400
gone.
Disappeared.
Gone.
So now we're finishing off the development and we're going to be ready to ship real soon.
Wow.
So it's just coming out of the factory.
And how many of the deals that actually happen on Shark Tank actually happen?
You know, I would say
half
under maybe. Some way, at least half happen under some formula, but
may not be the
not
same
always
one.
The exact same that you see on the show.
Yeah.
Because it, I'll say this. You can look at it from both sides, the people that are coming on and the Sharks viewpoint. But so many times that when I would do a deal, that all the things weren't like totally, well, that patent you said you had,
you don't have.
It's, you know, it's a provisional, which isn't really protecting anything from, it's just a 1 year kind of notification that you've filed something. It doesn't give you any protection after the end of the year. So, you know, it's, and some people, because you'll ask, is that a provisional patent or a util? Oh, it's, I think it's a utility patent. Okay, well, we'll do the deal, but it's got to be a utility, right? So things don't always check out, and the numbers don't always work. They also forget to tell you about little things like lawsuits and, you know, problems that might
exist.
Debt
they have or whatever.
Yeah. Wow. So, but
how many of the deals that you did, or were there any big successes for you?
I had a number of cool projects. Yes, I had. Yeah. So this is a jewelry product.
That's it.
This was Aldo Orta jewelry, and he was a designer for like Prince Albert of Monaco, one-off pieces, and so like something like that he would create with real diamonds, and this would sell for maybe $40,000, the original piece. And then he said, "I'm going to replicate this for the masses for $299." So, and this is a replica piece because I say, hey, I'd like that, you know, that one Prince Albert's wearing.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so we got him on QVC. And we did millions of dollars.
That's
so it's
cool.
It's been very, very successful.
So some of these have paid off.
Yeah. So, and I did the craziest one. People say, what's the craziest project you ever got involved? This was a cat toilet training product called City Kitty.
No way.
The cat, you ever see Meet the Fockers?
Yes.
Okay, where the cat jumps on the toilet. Robert De Niro's in there.
Yes,
they use City Kitty to train the cat to jump on top of the toilet.
They didn't.
And so you put throw the litter box away, and then City Kitty starts out as a litter box on top of the toilet,
but
then
a
ring comes out week after week until there's nothing.
They just go in the bathroom.
The cat still jumps on top of the
toilet.
That's
hilarious.
And that's done like $10 million in sales. I mean,
still.
I call.
You license that, or you?
I did a partnership with the girl that created it, Rebecca, and so she is amazing.
City Kitty. So if you have nowhere to go, or
it's like for the city, the cat can't. You know, where does a cat going to go to the bathroom? In the toilet. Okay, so that's the beauty of Shark Tank, because what I did was I got her on Good Morning America, the Today Show. I went on The View with it, Whoopi Goldberg and Barbara Walters. And then we got her on actually The Wall Street Journal, because they like to do crazy stories. Oh, there's this cat toilet training thing. But I also started taking her to the trade show. So we got her at the Houseware Show. Along came Walgreens. So I got end caps at Walgreens. And so we did everything along the process of taking that product. We did a TV spot, we did social media, and a lot of things, because it went kind of viral.
So it paid off.
It paid off. Yeah.
Wow.
So those are some fun ones. I did quite a few other projects, and you know, some of the biggest winner on Shark Tank is one that Lori did called the Scrub Daddy.
I saw it's that a, one.
This thing
he
is done
crushed it, right?
Tens of millions of
it's
dollars.
It's a little $1
it's a
sponge.
Little, yes, it's a little sponge with some soap in it already.
Tens of millions,
and
right?
It's tens of millions of dollars in sales, maybe even more. I lost count
of
it.
Of this,
she
huh?
did really well off that one, yeah. So Lori's sharp. She's got that good QVC connection.
Yeah.
Of course, I've been doing business at QVC since the mid-80s and HSN.
Wow.
So I do business with both. Both
they allow
of
you to do that?
Don't yeah,
they
usually, well, like, I don't their... go on the air. See, Lori is the on-air talent, so she can only be on one.
So she goes to QVC.
So she goes to QVC.
You just send
I'm
your
just,
talent
I'm the guy
people.
Behind the scenes. Nobody even knows
Smart.
Which products are mine. So
Smart.
I've got dozens of products on the shopping channels. Yeah.
Smart.
QVC, HSN. And by the way, also, QVC is in the UK. They're in France. They're in Italy. They're in Germany. They're in Japan. They're in China.
So people.
We have products we're selling all over the world on the shopping channel, as well
amazing.
As through infomercial, too.
This is fascinating to me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Welcome to the Canva guided meditation for stress at work. Impending deadline? Generate Canva presentations in seconds.
So fast.
Brainstorm got too big?
Ooh.
Summarize with AI in a click. Writer's block. Release with Canva Magic Write.
Magical.
Stress less and save time at canva.com. Designed for work.
need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let's go back to my question of what is the formula for having, if you want to be successful on an infomercial, what are the elements you need to have?
Yeah, great question. So there's 10 things that I look for, and we could probably spend a half hour talking about all 10 of those, but I'll give you the top four or five.
Sure.
Because I look for something that has some kind of unique positioning, such that I say, is it unique enough such that there's nothing else that solves, is it a problem solver in a unique way such that there's nothing else that solves that problem in a similar fashion? So it's kind of a mouthful there, but
yes.
You know, solve a problem uniquely such that nothing else solves that problem the same way. So that is very powerful. Like the oven that I talked about, it's unique. It's infrared technology, cooks inside out, outside in. It's unique, solves the problem of it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. What are you going to have for dinner? Well, you can take a frozen chicken out of the freezer and cook it because it can cook a frozen chicken. A regular oven can't.
Yes.
So solve a problem, solve it uniquely. Now, I want to get into some of the other cool things. Is there a magical transformation?
That's key, right?
That's one of the key things. So think about proactive, skincare. That's acne
face, no
right?
acne.
Yeah. It's magically transformational. Right. And by the way, I just had a meeting.
They've done amazing.
The Richard Simmons was one of the greatest at weight loss.
Yes.
The Deal-A-Meal and all the products he had, he created magical transformation for people that not only did they lose weight, and you could see that before and after, but he got into their heads as well as they never rode bicycles before. Now they're out in the neighborhood, high-fiving everybody and riding and having fun and enjoying. So he had an emotional and mental transformation also as part of his program. But so solve a problem, do it uniquely, have a magical transformation in some fashion. Also, look for things that are multifunctional, that have more than just one function. So solve more than one problem if you can, right? And so you can just, keep going down the line of
additional benefits.
Of other benefits, right?
Yeah.
So
it's not just to that machine, you can do shoulders too, and you can do this with it.
And so I have three steps that I can give you that summarize all 10. It's called tease, with some kind of attention-getting problem. Then you please, showing the benefits and solutions to the problem using magical transformations, and maybe some testimonials. And then you seize, you need an irresistible offer. So that's the close.
It's not $1,000, it's $19.99.
Right. Or you, as Billy Mays would do, you're going to get this, but or the Ginsu, you're going to get a second steak knife for free, a second knife for free, and 6 free steak knives. So in today's world, people expect something extra, right? So create an irresistible offer. You got to have something.
Irresistible offer with more and less price.
Right. Yeah. Add more items and drop the price, and then make it affordable in a multi-pay if possible, right?
Wow.
I mean, if you look at...
How do you make money at the end of the day?
I mean, that's a whole other thing. Look for continuity then, okay?
Big time.
So see, if you follow Guthy Ranker's model, they're going to give you this, and you get phase two, you're going to get also the cleanser and the toner and the this and the that, and it's all... Normally, this is $200. That's $19.95. And by the way, sign up today and we'll ship it to you every 6 weeks.
Wow.
So they get 8 turns out of that. So people think they spend $20. They actually are going to probably end up spending $220 when they're done.
Wow.
So look for continuity. And that's on the sales cycle, obviously.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
But those the things that I look for, I think we kind of hit the highlights of those.
Sure.
I could dive a little deeper, but I think that's good for today.
No, that's amazing. What do most people get wrong in advertising?
Product? So there's a saying I say is that advertising works 50% of the time. If I only knew which 50%.
Exactly.
Okay. I'll tell you. So today people go out and they spend big money on TV, but it's, you're paying to hit the masses. The masses aren't interested in your product. You know, even
a certain segment is
the kitchen business is the masses. So you might be able to get by with it there, but this is why digital is working so well today, because you can target right into people that want your product. So like, for example, this hair growing helmet, it's, you know, you've got to be able to take it to the audience that is going to want that. So, and in the case of that product, most people thought, well, is this going to work because it's only bald men? But no, we also had to open it up to thinning hair for women. And once we did that, it started becoming successful.
Wow.
Because before, if you're just going after the men, they're not even the ones sitting at home watching TV.
Right.
So you've got to be able to open it to those. So this is not going to work on TV if you can't get the women involved.
Sure.
Bottom
sure.
line.
Wow.
You know? And then also that makes it more easier to target also on your websites, you know, and your digital platforms.
Sure. Wow. So you've been doing it for 30 years now. You also have a couple of organizations that you really give back a lot of your time to. EO, you started, right? Entrepreneurs Organization.
I was a founding board member of the what was started as YEO, and then it changed to EO. So we're on a global basis. We're in 150 cities, 45 countries.
How many members are there worldwide?
Over 10,000 members. And it's a – because I thought 10,000 sounds – like a low number on a global side, but it costs you $4,000 or $5,000 to belong to EO. It's kind of a high level networking group. Yeah.
Wow.
So you pay local dues, your local chapter, and then national dues to the national group. But they have a lot of educational forums and annual conferences, monthly, quarterly, weekly.
Resources,
you know,
everything.
A lot
of
resources.
That's
yeah.
Great.
So you can actually get help. There's a lot of mentoring that goes on there, and I get involved in a lot of that too.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And then you started now a college entrepreneur association, correct?
So yeah, now I didn't found that, but I am
on the
advisory board of, it's called CEO. And CEO is the Collegiate Entrepreneurs Organization. And so I'm on the board of University of Tampa's entrepreneurship program. And I live in Tampa. And so just recently, CEO was taken over by the University of Tampa.
Yeah.
It's housed there. It's partially funded by them. So they asked me if I would come in and help mentor the management of CEO, which is, you know, it's a nonprofit, part of the University of Tampa, and, you know, its own entity. But I really love dealing at the college level because, you know, let's put it this way. When, you know, how old is Evan Spiegel, who started Snapchat?
25, 26
years old. And he's worth, you know, tens of billions or something.
Yeah,
I mean, so like some of these college kids are smarter than old entrepreneurs
me.
Okay.
Of
course. You know, like I like hanging out because they understand, you know, like when I started entrepreneurially, I started a driveway ceiling company and a heating and air conditioning company. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of low tech. Right. But that's when I was in high school and in college. So, hey, it was fun. I made money. But today, these kids are starting these digital companies that are worth billions. And it's pretty amazing to see this. So I think tuning in at that college level, when giving them a little bit of advice and maybe some connections can be just the difference between making it and not.
Sure,
so
sure.
I really enjoy hanging out with these collegiate entrepreneurs.
That's
so
cool.
I've been involved now with CEO for about 3 or 4 years, and it's really, they're on about over 250 campuses now.
Sure, sure. That's
cool. It's a lot of fun.
Now, what else keeps you going? You know, 30 years, you've been so successful financially. You've done, you know, however many products and just been blowing up all over the world with everything you do. What's the vision moving forward? What do you want to create?
You know, so I probably have some of the answer. And at the end of the day, I actually at one point tried to retire a few years
ago.
I had a non-compete, right? And I was playing golf like three times a week. And after literally 5 or 6 months, I was so bored. I'm like, what am I doing? So I immediately said, as soon as the non-compete's up, I'm getting back in and doing it all over again. Wow. So I just, there's a something about the thrill of deal making and seeing businesses grow and all of that. So anymore today, I have a 28-year-old son that when I do deals, I bring him in for a piece of the deals, and he helps. So I'm kind of the rainmaker. Mm-hmm. I can turn it over to an execution team. And so I really enjoy advising.
That's cool.
Taking a little advisory position, taking a small piece of equity. I don't want to be the CEO. I won't be the CEO of any company, because that means I'm
tied down
responsible to do that. And so the last company that I did that for, you get into conflicts of interest of, well, wait a minute, Kevin's the CEO here, but this deal that he just announced that went into some social media platform, that's not part of our company. Well, what's the conflict of interest on that? So I just decided it's real easy just to help other people, sit back and give advice and take a little equity. So I'm kind of, I'm not retired yet, but I did hit 60 in October.
Wow, you look great, man.
So thank you. I appreciate that. So I want to stay healthy. My father lived till he was 93 years old. And he, when he hit 90, he said to me, he was still driving at the age of 90.
Wow.
And so he said, Kevin, he said, if I'd have known I was going to live this long, I would have taken a lot better care of myself a lot sooner. Okay.
Yes.
He was trying to go into the gym at 90 years old. Right. So I said, you know, I'm 60. Let me do, I'm the same weight today that I was when I graduated high school.
Amazing. You're
and
super fit.
I used to wrestle and I played a lot of sports. So, you know, I'm an athlete, you know, so I love to golf and hang out and do things to keep active.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, right now I'm mentoring, coaching, taking a little equity, and being kind of a good advisor to a lot of younger entrepreneurs now. So staying healthy,
it's
a good
it.
Thing.
I feel like I could talk to you for a long time, and hopefully we'll get to connect many more times after this at trade shows or something.
That's great.
Final few questions for you. This is a question called the Three Truths. So imagine that it is your last day, and it's many years from now, you're 100 and something years old, however
right.
you want to be. You've created everything, done everything you want to do. Every dream you've ever had has happened.
Yep.
And it's the last day. And you get to write down on a piece of paper your three truths, the three lessons you've learned about everything you've done that you would share with the world.
Right.
What would you say are your three truths?
So number one, I would say when I do a deal, people sometime, my wife will call me, sometimes too easy on people or you give too much away. But I like to do a deal that both sides can look at and say that was a fair deal. Because you can get over on people, take advantage of them. And you know what usually happens on those deals? They blow up. So the first thing I always say is let's do a deal that works for both sides. And if somehow it doesn't look like it's a fair deal somewhere down the line, I modify the deal. If I'm getting more than I should or whatever. So I think that's important to make sure that the deal works for both sides.
Yes. Okay. That's number one.
That's number one. So number two, I would say that I also like I do a lot of deals. I do a lot of licensing, a lot of partnerships, right? So I like to be able when the deal is done and you can look at it down the road, I like to be able to be able to say that I gave more than I was obligated to in that relationship. And this is another reason why sometimes I always go back to my wife yelling and screaming at me because, you know, why do you have to take that call? We're in the middle of dinner. And it's like, well, this person needs me right now. So, I find that it sometimes gets a little disruptive. There are times when she just grabs my phone and takes it from me and says, I don't care who needs you. We're going to do a one day, no phone policy today. But I pride myself on being there for people when they need me. And, this is the thing. You can't plan problems as an entrepreneur, right?
Can't schedule time to
So, And so that is, you know, probably number two. Number three, this is tough. I would say that I'm a very loyal person. I would say, you know, my wife, I tended to go towards my wife here on almost everything, but, I have, as I'm out running around, my wife would say, you know, you're on Shark Tank, you're going to meet all these people. Mm. When I'll never forget the time when, Dancing with the Stars folks were over to Shark Tank, because they're like, hey, we want to do some cross promoting, and maybe one of the sharks want to be on.
Robert was on right?
Yeah, there. On Dancing with the Stars, right? And my wife said, I don't want you to go on Dancing with the Stars. And I said, why? She said, well, they get so close when they dance, and I'd be jealous. And by the way, do you know who Robert married?
One of the stars.
One of the Dancing with the Stars girls that he was dancing with, right? Yes. So I always say to my wife, you don't have to worry. I am so true to my wife. This is number three, that I can, when I am on my deathbed, I'll say I married my wife, and I would never have been with any other woman in the history of my life other than my wife. And I think that's pretty special, because, you know, we run in a kind of a fast world.
Yes.
I know a lot of people, they take pride in going out and hanging out different places and things that they do. I don't even want to know about. I go home, I go to bed early, and I want to be able to know that I'm true to my wife and my family. So I think those are three. I'll probably come up with a few more after I leave here.
But I
think we got three good ones for now. So
I love that.
So thank you, Lewis. It's been fun hanging out with you today.
Yeah, yeah. I've got a couple more questions.
Okay.
Imagine there's every human on the planet has headphones on right now, and it's a direct line to your mic.
Right.
And you've got less than 60 seconds to say a message.
Right.
It can be whatever you'd want to say. And again, you've got a 60 seconds where every human would listen and be translated in their language.
Right.
So you don't have to speak a million languages. You just speak and they understand you.
Right.
What do you think you'd say?
So I would speak to the...
And they're listening now.
Yeah, I would speak right to the entrepreneurs that are out there, because that's my niche. And yes... I'm this isn't going to be for every single human, because not every single human is an entrepreneur, but I would say to them that, if you want to be the most successful entrepreneur possible in your business, in your life, start out by tying in and partnering and using mentors and coaches and experts in your world to help you grow your business the most successful way that you can, by listening to people that have been there and done that before. Because so many people, I was a headstrong entrepreneur that went down these paths and failed miserably at times because I didn't listen to others out there. I thought, I don't need anybody else. I was too afraid to pay other people money. Sure. But once I realized that the world is much more, your business is much more successful, and the world can be more successful if you surround yourself with other people that have the expertise in the areas that you need. And in the world of entrepreneurship, it's operations, it's finance, it's legal, it's all the things that I'm not good at, but I do what I do best, and then surround myself with those experts. So maybe in life, that means to also pick the right people that you do business with, that you hang out with, that you marry in your life, that are going to compliment you the best, because you don't want a bunch of Me Toos running around telling you how great you are. Sure. You need people that are going to challenge you and help you take it to the next level.
Absolutely. I love it. I love it. Kevin, I want to, before I ask the final question, I want to acknowledge you for a moment for your gift of seeing great ideas and bringing them to life. I think it's a challenge for people to do that, and for you to help so many people along the way, show them how to do it themselves, how to take their ideas and bring it to life, whether it be a product or business or whatever. It's an amazing thing. So I want to acknowledge you for your gift in doing that, and also your humility and your willingness to continue to do it.
Yep.
30 years later, you're giving back in so many ways. And I think it's a great example of what an entrepreneur should be doing. So
thank you. It's great to be here. I appreciate it. I know you got one more for me.
One more question.
But thank you for that. That was very nice.
Of course.
Very nice.
Where do we connect? Before I ask the final question, where do we connect with you online? Where do you like to hang out, or what's the best place to find out more information about you?
You know, my website is Kevin Harrington.tv. So that really is kind of the hub for places. And from there, you can connect. You can leave messages that'll get to me.
Sure.
And that's really the best place.
You're not tweeting all day, your team.
Because I'm an old entrepreneur, when we first went on Shark Tank, tweeting wasn't even
sure.
Because I got on Shark Tank in 2008 when I got the call.
Wow.
We filmed in 2009. This is almost 10 years ago, right?
Easy.
So you know, like Damon and I were looking at each other. Do you tweet? Like, well, not really, you know. And then season three, mm-hmm. you know, Mark Cuban came on and he's like, hey, we got to start tweeting, you know. And so I do tweet. I've got followers. I do have my Facebook and my LinkedIn and all that,
uh-huh.
but you know, so you can check me out on all those places,
right.
But really to connect with me, you can connect also right in
on your website,
right on my website. You leave messages there,
cool.
And I get those and I respond
awesome.
Very, very
awesome.
Quickly too. So within 48 hours.
Love it. Okay. Final question. What's your definition of greatness?
Wow. Okay. You didn't give me any heads up on any of these, Lewis. You're throwing me off here because sometimes I get to prepare, but I would say
the authentic answers.
I think greatness. I would say when I always believe that it's not what you call yourself. I mean, a lot of people can write their own copy for how great they are and how great all the things have been that they've done. It's what other people say mm-hmm. about you. So I think greatness is when you have industries and I'm in various industries now, but I think when people in the core industry you're in can say that you've given a lot to that industry and a great amount of effort, I think it's looking at what all the people that surround you. And also even some of the people that don't even know you sometimes, because, you know, every now and then I'll hear somebody that said something about me and I'll say, well, you know what? They don't even know me. So mm-hmm. let's give them a chance. If they know me and they don't like me, that's okay.
Yes.
Okay. But don't say that you don't know me and something.
Yeah.
But I feel greatness is when all the people that's around you can say that have contributed more to the universe and more to the world than you took back. That I think is greatness, is being able to give back in a way that that the equilibrium is giving more than you take.
Kevin Harrington.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
All right, buddy.
Appreciate
Lewis, it's great to be here.
It's awesome.
Thank you so much.
Yes.
Appreciate it.
There you have it. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to share it out with your friends. Tag me on social media, lewishouse.com/490. Tag me on your Insta stories. I reply to everyone over there. Tag me on Twitter, Facebook, all those good places. And make sure to connect with Kevin and let him know what you thought of this as well. All of the show notes, all the resources, all the links that we talked about are at that show notes at lewishouse.com/490. So make sure to go there right now. Check out all the resources. Share with your friends. And let me know what you thought about this episode. I hope you guys enjoyed this one, and you know what time it is. It's time to go out there and do something great.
Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.